welcome into in-game chat for Saturday, August the 16th, 2025, season 19, episode 25. And I'm Scott.
And I'm RJ.
Welcome into the show, everybody. Let me do this real quick to get this out of the way, to mark the occasion, and to help me with the edit. There, done. So, welcome in. If you want to get in touch with us, hit us up on Discord or send us an email, everyone at ingamechat.net. You can also send us a message on Twitter. You can send us a message on Blue Sky. We're over there. We're on Facebook, and we're on Twitch right now. Go to twitch.tv and type in in-game chat. You'll be able to find us that way. Other ways, just go to our website, ingamechat.net. Scroll to the very bottom. It's one of those that like continually feeds for a while until you get to the bottom. But yeah, once you get down there, you'll see all the links that'll put you right where you need to be in order to interact with us and, you know, be a part of the show. Especially when it comes to what we've been playing, because that's what we're about to jump into. And honestly, I ain't played a thing, really. Nothing new, honestly. What about you, RJ?
Well, I played more of the standard fare with GTA Online and Virtua Fighter 5, of course, getting more matches under my belt so I can get some experience playing against certain characters. But the most recent thing I've played that's new would be the demo for Shinobi, Arts of Vengeance.
Oh, nice.
That's coming out soon. I finally got a chance to download it and start giving a little run-through of that.
You probably liked that.
Oh, I did. I really did like that because it has the same folks that made the Streets of Rage 4 remake that came out a while back. And it's pretty much the same animation style, very smooth, very crisp, real pretty, nice to look at. What I thought about when playing this thing was the original Genesis title, The Revenge of Shinobi.
Right.
And the plot pretty much is starting out the same way. You have the intro that says what's going on. You know, some dude named Lord Ruse. So already fake. Ruse fake, and he's working with yokai demons and whatnot. So I'm thinking this guy's got to be some big, major demon player to come in here and try to take over the world. You know, generic evil villain plot right there, right? And the only ones who can get in his way are the Oboro clan led by Joe Musashi, the main character in all of the Shinobi titles. So you get the first intro where you see him with his wife, his very pregnant wife, got third trimester. So since this game is all about vengeance, I'm already concerned for her. Because in the first game of Revenge of Shinobi, his wife was kidnapped and taken by the Neo Z organization in the first game. In this game, I forget what the organization is called, but these guys are attacking his clan. They want to take it out. Because like I said, they're the only ones who can stop him. So basically, they must succeed because he's, as I said, the game is called The Arts of Vengeance, so he's going to go after him. So they must have succeeded in some kind of fashion that way. But the game itself, side-scrolling action-adventure, you have your slashes, your attacks, your basic roll for dodge, throwing shurikens for distance attacks of that nature. There's also a lot of good mechanics in there that I found interesting. One is the execution bow. See, there's a lot of enemies on screen at any given time in some missions, and I'm guessing it's going to be like that throughout the game as well. But you can damage them enough to the point where they have this bar that fills up under their lifeline. And if it fills up enough, you can go into you can switch your stance and go into an execution mode. And every enemy on the screen that has their damage filled up, you can take out in one blow.
Oh, nice.
Whether it be one or three, six, whatever. You just have to build it up. And building it up with heavy attacks and shuriken attacks and whatnot. This is, you can build your repertoire with shops because you get money and health and more shurikens to throw in the game when you defeat an enemy. And you can buy more moves, more magic, more buy amulets to make things more effective. Like, for instance, there's one that I picked up called the health amulet. Which, when you pick up health items, it builds your life meter up a lot more than normal, right? So, there's a lot of things that you can probably find throughout this game, item-wise, move-wise, things of that nature. The stage setup, though, was something that really got me because it was a labyrinth-like stage. kind of like the labyrinth-like level in the original Revenge of Shinobi. That was pretty much the bane of everyone's existence back in the Sega Genesis days.
And they put that in a demo?
At the demo, with the first stage when you have to get to the dojo to see what's going on. And this is anything, there's no, I don't think there's any dojo built like this, because it's basically a labyrinth.
That's like putting the speeder bike level of Battletoads into the, hey, here's what you can expect of gameplay. It was annoying.
Yeah, but, well, in this case, at least in this case, you have a map to go to. So you can see everywhere you can go. And there's save points in this area where you can fast travel to, if need be, to backtrack. Because there are certain areas in the room that are secrets,
mm-hmm.
and you can get extra items out of it. I think one is the Elite Squad room, which is basically just a challenge room.
Yeah.
For this one, the one that I played anyway, it was a multi-tiered level, planks and platforms and things to jump on and whatnot. But the ground is covered in these poisonous spikes, so pretty much you fall off a platform, that's it. So there's only certain very limited areas where you can fight in. And these enemies are a lot tougher than what you face in the demo, so you take out the room, take out all the enemies in this thing, and you unlock a part of the treasure. I mean, I think in this case you get some amulet or some technique that'll help you out later on in the game. But the demo was really good. I like what I saw, and I'll probably be picking that up when it comes out.
Did
later
you ever
on
try the
month.
Ninja Gaiden demo?
Nope, but I know it's available. I know I've seen that before. I tried to see a demo of that, but there wasn't one available. At least not on PS4.
Huh. Well, I wonder about PS5.
Maybe there is one there.
Because I don't know if it's coming out. It probably isn't going to be available on, which is weird because it's a retro type thing. It's a retro type title.
Well, it was in the PS4 store. The Ninja Gaiden one. Rage Bound. I think it's called.
Maybe.
I think it's called Rage Bound. But I saw it in the store. Available for sale on the PS4, so there was no demo, but the game was there.
Surprise, because I had a demo on Steam that I played, but...
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Ragebound.
Surprise.
Yeah, I didn't see it, like I said, I didn't see a demo on 4. I looked for it, but I saw the demo for Art of Vengeance, Shinobi. I saw that on there.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Let's see. I'm gonna do a Google.
Mm-hmm.
And see what I can find out.
Yeah, if I'm not mistaken, the demo for Arts of Vengeance was bigger than the full game for Ragebound.
What is it called again?
A Shinobi Art of Vengeance?
No. Ninja Gaiden.
Ninja Gaiden Ragebound.
Ragebound.
Yeah,
$25. It says Steam. Let's see. Ninja Gaiden Ragebound demo. PS5? There is a demo. Looks like it's for PS5, though. Let's see. Does Ninja Gaiden Rage Band... Ninja Gaiden Rage Band demo... Okay. It says now available on Steam every time it goes up there, but...
Yeah, I mean, the full game's available. Would it come out early August, late July? I'm sorry, yeah. July 31st is when it came out, yeah. Yeah, the autofill for Google says just PS5, nothing for PS4.
That's odd. I see where the demo's available for PC.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not. I even typed in console, and I'm still not getting anything. Okay, there is. I'm at GameFAQs of all things. Of old, all places.
Old school.
God.
I got a couple of fact sheets on there myself.
It's available for Steam. Can't wait. This looks better. Blah, blah, blah. You expect something. I can't wait to discover. Then they start talking. Nobody is talking about the fact that there's a demo available on anything. So I don't know, man.
Mm.
I'd have to go into the store, and I have not turned on my... I have not turned on my PlayStation 5 in quite a while.
Mm-hmm.
I've redeemed the games through like the online store
the
thing.
Apps and things like that. Yeah,
yeah, but I haven't actually
turned the system.
Turned on the
yeah.
system.
Yeah, but when I was looking to the store for the demo for Shinobi, you know, found that pretty quick. But I looked up demos in the store for Ragebound, and I didn't see it, but I saw the game available, full game.
Strange.
But not the demo.
I got a text from Dave's listening live, by the way. Hey, Dave. Mm-hmm. And he says, the opening music is so haunting. Is that from Myst or the Myst series of games? No, Myst never sounded like that. that is from Crackdown, which is a 2008 Microsoft title available on the 360. Significance of that is that we gave away tons of copies of that game when we first started broadcasting the show. And but mainly because people were buying that. The game was good, but most people bought it because it came with an easy access beta into Halo 3?
Yeah.
Or ODST or something like that. It came with some kind of access into like the Halo 3 beta. If you bought that game, you got into the Halo 3 beta, and a bunch of people were getting into that because of that. Although, turns out there was a good game under that, you know, behind all of that, and that was great. The sequels were not that great. Hmm. Crackdown 3 was bad. Crackdown 2 did not live up to Crackdown 1. Mm-hmm. But Crackdown was really great.
I think the last time I bought a game, not for the game, but for what came with it, I'm trying to remember the name of the game now. It escapes me, but it was the one that came with, it was one based off of those John Woo films, and it came with the hard-boiled.
Stranglehold?
Thank you. Yeah. Stranglehold, yeah. I didn't buy it for that, but it had.
That was legit, like John Woo involved, and also had, what was the actor's name?
Chow Yun-Fat?
Yes!
Yeah.
So, wait, was it Chow Yun-Fat? I think it was.
Yeah, Chow Yun-Fat. But it was, the main reason I bought that was because it came with hard-boiled, and I've heard of it. I've never seen it, but I see so many people talking about it.
Yeah, man.
So I'm like, yeah, I may as well get that and see hard-boiled, and then see what all the fuss is about.
Yeah.
Yeah, this was a really, really fun game, but not the main reason I bought it.
I know, I know. But again, had something good on the end, you know.
Yeah.
The outlying part of it was like, oh, this is really good, not only for the fact that it got me what I originally bought it for, but it's actually got, you know, it's got good stuff there. Mm-hmm. They never did a sequel to that, although, you know, it was, part of it felt like, I don't want to say it felt like wet, but, you know, had some sort of very stylized in the action aspect of it. But, of course, John it was Woo. Pulling off John Woo stuff.
John Woo, yeah.
Yeah, which John Woo ain't been John Woo in a long time as far as his film stuff is going. Mm-hmm. The last one he did that I saw that John Woo did was it Silent Night, I think is what it was called.
Mm-hmm.
It was not great. It was not great. It had.
Is that the one with Brenneman?
Yes.
Okay.
He was deaf.
He was deaf. Couldn't. Yeah.
Or his family was deaf, or something like. I can't remember what the deal
Somebody
was.
Somebody wasn't speaking.
Yeah. And it was around Christmas time, and he's like, "We'll give it a clever title. We'll call it Silent Night." And it did not. I watched it, and I trugged through it, but it was not. It's just been a. It's been a while since Woo has been. Since Woo has wooed me.
Mm.
His 90s stuff, I'll put Mission Impossible 2 aside. But I will say, Mission Impossible, we were hyped for that when that came out. We were all like, meh, and then we watched it, and we were like, yeah, and then you watch it like years and years and years, decades later, and you're like, ooh, that was not really great. But then you go back to his, like, face-off days, and, you know, that was good. Was it Broken Arrow, I think, was the other one that he did? Yeah. You know?
Yep. Well, time
you get
to start,
evil John Travolta, you're good, man.
Yeah, time to start.
Evil 90s John Travolta, you're fine.
Time to start collecting the classics.
Ah, boy, he hasn't gone back to that. Yeah. So, anyway, I've played absolutely jack squat. I've played Snap and probably played some more of the Is This Seat Taken, which is, like I told you about, it's just some kind of puzzle thing, which was fine, and some Snap, and that is it, really.
No demos or anything?
I did not know. I didn't get any kind of demos. I just did not do much with. I still haven't found something to pull me in.
Mm-hmm.
I really haven't. And I keep thinking, you know, to go back and look at what you've got installed and just kind of go through that stuff, you know?
Yeah.
Find some kind of single player thing that is just. You know, maybe I'll fire up Spider-Man 2. Maybe I'll turn on my PlayStation 5 and fire up Spider-Man 2. I don't know.
You might have to do an update on the operating system on that thing now.
It's been a while. Yeah, I know. So. I haven't turned it on. I, and longer than that, I haven't turned on my Xbox either. I have opened up my Game Pass on my PC, sitting there looking at like what's there, and I even downloaded a cycling type game.
Descenders?
No, no, it wasn't that. I can't remember what it was called, and I haven't even played it. I downloaded it with the intention to play it, and I never even did it.
Yeah.
So, you know, maybe that's something I jump back into tomorrow. Maybe. I don't know. So, I assume we're streaming right now. We should be. You usually pull us up there. Do you do you show us that we're streaming? I mean, everything else seems to be working, and I haven't even checked into the chat room to see if anybody's saying that we're not.
Yeah.
So, I think we're good. Okay. Yeah, I'm looking at our stuff. Everything's good. The reason I ask is because I was looking at something else to make sure that all my music had gotten sent over. It had not. Yeah. And so now it's done. But I noticed that I didn't have a connection to our computer that we do for the streaming. So
yeah. Speaking of the chat room, I was looking in there. There was a conversation about how Max Thor said Max Payne 3 is a bit of Sleeping Dogs. Yeah, that's a lot of titles nowadays. It's always like something similar. Nothing really...
What is he saying here? Wait a second. I say, I gave up on Wu-Chang too hard for my gray beard. Too bad because I was loving it. Yep, Ragebound. Art is Shinonian. Xbox, pretty sure. I miss Once a Thief. That's, I think, a John Woo thing.
Mm-hmm.
Or Chow Yun Fat film.
Yeah.
I know that. Max Payne 3 a bit also, or Sleeping Dogs. Yeah. Max Payne 3 I played all the way through. Sleeping Dogs I haven't touched.
I have touched that, and yeah, he, yes, I mean, the action that game has really really nice.
Kind of curious about jumping into some of the Yakuza games.
Mm-hmm.
I've been curious about those as well. Maybe you ran out of doves. Thor says Spider-Man 2 is good, but not as good as 2018. Looks amazing though. Yeah, you know, I you know, flipping through different socials and stuff like that, I see little clips from that game, especially the traversal, how they improved the traversal of the Spider-Man 2 stuff. So I'm curious about it, but yeah, I still haven't fired that up to play it at all. And so maybe I will, maybe I won't. I don't know. I never know what I'm going to do.
Like I never did the DLC for the Spider-Man.
Started it and I never finished it.
Yeah.
I got one of those things. I was trying to 100% the thing.
Yeah.
And one of those things were just really annoying. It was really annoying.
It was like three different ones, right? It was like what was it? Hammerhead, one with Silver Sable, and I don't remember what the other one was.
some, I think it was another female, some woman that was, you had to do stuff for her followers online, streaming video and stuff. I can't remember what her name was.
Hmm.
I don't remember ever hearing about her as a Spider-Man, maybe
last
I would.
Last time I heard something like that, I thought it was a DC villain. But there's, you know, between Marvel and DC, there's always some similarity between characters anyway.
Lee the Migrant says, you've never tried Sleeping Dogs? If GTA was actually a good game, it would be Sleeping Dogs. Try it out. I have it. I've owned it for a very long time, but I never fired it up. It's on PC. Actually, I probably have it on all of the systems at this point, given how many times it's been available for free for
I remember getting it cheap.
You name it.
I remember getting it cheap.
$5.
Yeah. You're talking about a lot of bang for your buck, man. Sleeping Dogs was one of those titles that did that.
Yeah. I mean, that's a possibility. It would run fantastic on anything that I put it on right now, Steam Deck included. But it would run really, really well on, you know, my machine easily. Mm-hmm. So, Screwball.
Okay,
Screwball is a live streaming supervillain who records her crimes and battles against Spider-Man to gain internet fame and followers. Yeah, Wraith is a horrible Screwball.
Yeah,
I've never.
All publicity is good publicity, right? Yeah.
I never heard of Screwball until that thing. I read a lot of Spider-Man comics. In fact, the first comic book I ever read was a Spider-Man comic book. I remember the cover of that. It was like a part two and a three or four part story.
Don't you love that?
And I want to say it involved Cloak and Dagger.
Mm.
As, like, guests in the comic. And it's going back a ways. Mm-hmm. But I absolutely remember the first comic book I ever read. I was at my grandparents'. This is story time! I was at my grandparents'.
Yep.
You know, one of those things where my parents were going away, and so they dropped me off at old grandma's.
Mm-hmm.
And they took me to, they had to go, they took me to a Sam's. And Sam's used to, they still do, but they used to have just a massive bin of books. Now it's more organized where their books are, but there used to be just like a big, long thing, long tables that were just books.
Yeah, but
there was no organization. They were just a bunch of books.
I think the only thing similar to that for me was Walden Books. They just had a bin of books just thrown in there and just rummage in there
just
and find
thing.
See what you
and
can
it
find.
It didn't. It wasn't deep. It wasn't like you had to like dig inside of that.
Oh, yeah,
I mean,
you had to dig.
No,
in
no,
Walden
no.
Books. Yeah.
This one was like no. It wasn't. It wasn't a. It wasn't deep. But there was a bunch of tables that just had books all piled in there.
Yeah.
And one was like this thing where you could pick up and it had, it was all shrunk wrap and it was just. Bunch of variety of comic books.
Yeah.
Just a bunch of different comic books.
Yeah, you see that at Dollar Tree, Dollar General now.
Yeah, and like they, that. You know, and I looked at that and they bought that for me and I went back and that was the first comic. And then, and I got hooked. Like, I read that and I was like, I want to see how this story ends. And so I would find where I could find the next one in this. And that's how this whole comic book thing started rolling for me. That's how it snowballed into what it became for me.
Yeah. But unfortunately, I was saying about the, you started in the middle. Of a story arc. Now you got to go hunt.
I did. And I've got to, let's see, Spider-Man with Cloak and Dagger.
See, because that's what happened to me with X-Men. The first X-Men comic I read was it was in the middle of the Inferno Saga.
Yeah, this is going backwards. I'm trying to find... If I see the cover art for it, I will absolutely be like, yep, there it is. That's the first one. That is the one that I saw or that I read, my first book. And I'm really trying to find that so I can tell you exactly what it was. But so far, I am not seeing the cover for it. And that's going to take some time. I may look through that during the break to see if I can get a little bit more specific about what I saw. But it goes back a ways. Mm-hmm. I can't remember the year. Still looking. Don't see it.
Yeah.
It may not have... I swear it said... On the thing, it said guest stars Cloak and Dagger. Cloak and Dagger were not on the cover.
Mm-hmm.
So it might be... So I may be using the wrong sort of search requirement here to try and find that. But anyway, I'll look for it later because it's going to bug me and see if I can figure it out. I say that also because I know Dave's listening and, books for Dave. Anyway. So I haven't played anything. And, get around to it when I get around to it. But we're going to take a break here. Everything's running smooth. It is classic music. I say it's classic music day. It's the classic games day.
Mm-hmm.
And for this one, I went for racing. I said, let me find some old racing tracks, from anything that involved racing in games. Now, this track coming up really not necessarily was a racer. It was a battler. Twisted Metal 2. But it involved vehicles, it involved, battle racing, whatever you want to call it.
Ain't no first place, it's like who survived.
Yeah, basically.
Pretty much, yeah.
Speaking of, season 2 for Twisted Metal's out.
Yeah, there's all the ads for that, yeah.
I haven't watched any of it. Season 1 was fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
Better than it had any right to be. Or more, not just that, but better than I ever expected it to be.
Yeah.
I went in expectations pretty low on this thing. Yeah. And I watched it and I was like, this isn't bad at all.
Yeah.
And so
I remember a lot of folks were talking about the Sweet Tooth, Samoa Joe playing the physical role and someone else doing the voice.
And doing the voice.
Doing the voice for it. I don't know.
The voice was he always does Batman's voice for any animated stuff, or at least the Lego Batman voice. Will Arnett.
Okay. Yeah.
That's who did the voice for Sweet Tooth. Anyway. Yeah. It looks really great. And season 2 looks even just as good. So I haven't started season 2 because I'm sort of like, let me get all the episodes first before, because I'm going to want to binge.
Mm-hmm.
I ain't going to want to wait.
Yeah.
And I don't want to get caught up. I want to keep going. So anyway, we've got music here from Twisted Metal 2. It is the Hong Kong stage is what this one is. So we'll be back with more of In-Game Chat right after this. We'll be right back. Welcome back to In-Game Chat. This is music from Rad Racer. Probably the first racing game I ever played. And I sucked at it. That's Grand Canyon is the name of that title.
Trying to remember my first racer.
Had to have been Rad Racer for me. I mean, it was one of the early games I ever had on the NES. Yeah. And I really was an arcade player back then. It was home console stuff. I didn't go to arcades and play racing games or any kind of games. I just didn't go to arcades.
Maybe Night Driver. When it got dark and you couldn't see where you were going on the 2600.
Jeez, okay. No, I never played a racing game on the 2600.
Yeah.
So, I'm still looking through covers, and I haven't found anything. I'm still looking for that thing. It is going to annoy me. I'm going to have to go through my boxes at home because I still, like I said, I still own the issue. And all the other issues that came in that. I only remember specifically the Spider-Man issue because I read it, I got to the end, and I wanted to know more about it. It was, like I said, it was part of something else. I can't remember.
But only thing I got was the first appearance of Cloak and Dagger. Was...
You said that was 82, though, right?
That was the second appearance in 82, and then I see this one that says their first appearance was in Peter Parker, the Spectacular Spider-Man, number 64, and that was the first appearance of Cloak and Dagger. But you said they showed up at the end.
Part of me is thinking that there was something at the end of the book. There was an image, and then at the bottom it said next issue, Cloak and Dagger. You know, special guest, blah blah blah.
63, I guess.
Not that they were their first appearance or anything. I have no idea if that was their first appearance. But I'm just going to have to look up the book myself at the house at some point.
Yeah, 63 is like the mark of the Molten Man or something like that.
Yeah, I got to find it. It's somewhere in there. I see a lot of familiar covers when I'm looking through this that, mm-hmm. you know, involve Tombstone and a couple of others, but nothing that is ringing any bell for my first... book, but I still have the first book, first comic I ever read. I still have that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't believe there's like any value, but
no, because you didn't plastic seal it and put in that.
Oh, it is.
Oh, it is.
Oh yeah.
Okay.
It's in a slip and it's got the cardboard on the back and everything.
Oh, I meant the graded thing with the.
Oh no, I never did grade. No.
Frame
no.
thing. Yeah.
I don't think there was any. I do have some that I should grade, honestly. I've got some good ones there that I should.
Mm-hmm.
Web of Spider-Man number one. Spectacular Spider-Man number one, maybe?
Mm-hmm.
I don't, not amazing, but maybe spectacular. I've got the entire Venom run. That was the big thing that I did when I went to my very first and only Dragon Con that I've ever been to with my dad. Oddly enough, he haggled and got me. We went through the vendor section and I got every appearance of Black Suit Venom up until that point.
Yeah.
I believe Maximum Carnage was the storyline going on. Carnage just been introduced.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to talk comic books other than video games. We're going to talk comic books. I believe it was the Maximum Carnage storyline that had just kicked off. And I'm going to probably butcher his name, but Mark Bagley, I think, or Bagley, was the artist on that stuff. He was there at Dragon Con, got him to sign a bunch of issues that I had, that he had worked on. Picked up, Amazing 300 that had the black suit. Picked up Secret Wars 8, obviously, that had the first appearance of the black suit. So, did a whole stretch of those. Mm-hmm. And that was just before, like, Venom got his own series. And when he got his own series, they started taking that Venom lore, that Venom stories, and just going nuts with it, which was fine. I didn't really care. I was okay with it. I had gotten what I wanted at the beginning. Like, this is the origin. Here's all the appearances through a McFarlane run, through Bagley again, through maybe even in a Larson run.
Mm-hmm.
I can't remember. Just before Image. Image had just started.
Yeah.
In fact, because that was the whole thing. McFarlane was there, and I missed getting in line. I walked by where you could get in line for it. There were like two people there, but I didn't know. My first con. This was my first convention.
Well, you make all your mistakes.
Oh, and boy, was it a big one, too. Walked by there, and it was like, you know, there he was. There were people waiting in line. They were just sitting on the floor to me.
Yeah.
Didn't know what they were doing. Didn't know that was where the line began. Came back later. That thing was long, yep. And we did not have time to sit there and go through to yep. get my issues signed. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That I wanted to get signed.
So. Yeah, I'm not a big autograph guy, but I've seen the lines for autographs, man. They can get.
And this was back where yeah. you didn't have to pay for them.
Yeah.
You know, mm-hmm. when I went to the artist booth, we were just, it was like, hey, I got some comics. Can you sign? You know, and Mark signed a bunch of my Spidey comics that I mm-hmm. had. And yeah, so you didn't have to pay for it. You just had to wait in line.
Yeah.
You were already there. You already paid your admission to get into the con.
Yep.
So, sure. It wasn't year until later that it was like, you got to pay for them to get a sign, you know? You got to pay to get a picture taken with people. Oh, man. Mm-hmm. Turned it into a business rather than a fun yeah. little thing for the fans who, you know, enjoy, who already pay the money to enjoy your book. But, mm-hmm. yeah, so. But then again, what they're doing is just getting these things signed, turning them around, selling them for yep. a whole lot more.
eBay.
So why not charge for that sort of thing? Yeah. So, anyway, yeah, I know, Wraith. There is so much more to the whole Venom and symbiotes, and there's a whole hierarchy of that whole. They had to expand upon the alien aspect of what that is, which is fine. I don't mind some backstory, but boy, it gets convoluted. And I only know this because of playing Snap and seeing, like, oh wow, there's Agent Venom, there's Anti-Venom. There's Scream. There's a bunch of others.
Mm-hmm.
A whole world of symbiotes. And then, yep. like, just recently, apparently, Mary Jane was the new Venom for a while. Or still is, maybe. I'm not sure.
Mm-hmm.
So. No Lethal Migraine. My first convention. My first con. Yeah. Not that I'm not going to admit to my crimes on the air here. No. So, anyway, spent 15 minutes talking comic books and not talking video games, which is fine by me. I like my comics. I wanted to jump into some news, maybe. I don't know what we got. What can we fill in for 15 minutes here? Speaking of racing, Fast and Furious is getting a racing game. They already had one, but... Publisher Game Mill Entertainment and Universal Products and Experiences announced Fast and Furious Arcade Edition. It's a home version of the 2022 game that was released under the title Fast and Furious Arcade. Normally I would say it's crap, turn away from it.
Mm-hmm.
But no. Put aside your preconceived notions of Fast and Furious, the film franchise. In fact, you can put them aside, but don't get rid of them, because whatever you think about them is absolutely true. But don't connect them with this game. They are connected in title only, because it's basically Cruisin'
USA, yeah.
Yeah. And it looks great. Mm-hmm. It looks like a fun arcade racer.
Yeah.
It absolutely does. Don't even connect it with Fast and Furious. Just connect it with Cruisin'. Cruisin' Blast, in fact, is what... Whether or not you've played the sit-down version of Fast and Furious Arcade is moot. What's more important is whether you've played Cruisin' Blast, the delightfully over-the-top 2017 arcade racer that was ported to Nintendo Switch in 2021. That's a Raw Thrills game, too, which is the name of the developer on this.
Yeah, Raw Thrills, yeah.
And Fast and Furious Arcade Edition has a ton of Cruisin' Blast DNA. It looks to be full of big jumps, ample destruction that would likely leave hundreds of innocent civilians dead, and over-the-top racing with impossible physics. So, yeah, that is coming out on the Switch, PlayStation 5, and the Series X on October 24th. No PC on that, I see. That's a little bit like, I don't like that. Be great to have that on PC, but yeah. Anyway, there's a trailer for it. Go watch it if you it's one of those. Let me LeVar Burton here. Don't take my word for it. Go to the YouTubes and look it up, because it looks great. So, Tokyo Drift game could be fun too. I think there was an arcade version of Tokyo Drift. Wasn't there an arcade cabinet, like sit-down version for Fast and Furious Tokyo Drift?
Most likely was. I mean, arcade thing, they always had some big sit-down thing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm almost positive there was Lethal Migraine.
Yeah.
I'm almost positive. I don't think they ported it home, but I know that there was an arcade version.
Yeah, I think the one of the best, to me, the best game Raw Thrills made was H2 Overdrive.
Is that the boats?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because it made you think of Hydro.
Was that Hydro Thunder or made you think of Hydro Thunder?
It was like the spiritual successor to Hydro Thunder. But, man, it was just a really, really fun powerboat racing game.
Yeah. Oh, man. I could do more racing game music on this because I just thought Hydro Thunder. I didn't get any Hydro Thunder. I didn't get any San Francisco Rush. I didn't get...
I didn't want for Alcatraz?
You got a bug on your shoulder.
Hmm? No.
Is it a fly or is it a... Yeah, something crawling around there.
Hmm.
Boom.
Yeah, I may see from it later.
Okay.
Thank you, sir.
Sorry, I saw him creeping up, and I was like, well, it's probably just a fly, but if it's not, it could be something worse. I'll tell RJ. Otherwise, you know, he might get stung or bit or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, Hydro Thunder was great. And then what was the sequel? Arctic Thunder?
Arctic Thunder, yeah.
Yeah.
Snowmobiles.
On the one they had the wind machines blowing in your face in the arcade?
Yeah, well, that was on H2O Drive as well because, you know.
Did they?
Yeah, the sensation of running
a boat.
250 miles an hour over skimming over water.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Man, it's fun arcade titles there.
Yep.
For racing. So, yeah, when that comes out, it's worth your time.
Mm-hmm.
If you like arcade racers that are that arcadey, yes. Which, did we talk last week about... We talked about THQ's little thing that they showed off, their games, Darksiders 4 and all that. Did we talk about Recreation?
Yeah.
I had to have, right? Because it's my only Burnout successor, so yeah. There's still no word on that, by the way.
Mm.
Ooh. Here's what we didn't talk about, and we can absolutely devote about 10 minutes of this to that. Marathon. Let me go back to my Bungie days. This comes from an article from PC Gamer, so it's been a while for this article. Not that anything new has developed for it. It's just that we never covered it last week.
Right.
But yeah, Marathon did not go as Sony hoped when they had their grand unveiling, and all that would be trouble enough. But crucially, it came only a few months after the highly publicized death of Concord. There's a serious risk of history repeating itself, and I'm sure I'm not the only one to have wondered whether Sony will actually release Marathon at all, risking another disaster or simply just cut its losses. For now, at least, the party line hasn't changed. During a Q&A following a financial report, CFO not only reaffirmed that a new release date will come in autumn, but also that we expect the launch to happen within the fiscal year, which is what they've been saying. That means before the end of March 2026, in theory, though she did immediately then caveat that with... But having said that, and I'm quoting, but having said that, this is not a commitment. No official announcement has been given yet. She also addressed the possibility of cancellation, saying, we believe this launch will happen, but if this launch is canceled, we need to do a revision of the valuation. In other words, Sony will need to update its financial projections if it does happen, which sounds like it's putting it mildly. Not the strongest statement of confidence, then, and it's very much still possible that internal reviews around Marathon's future are ongoing, especially as she then went on to describe some fairly ominous changes at Bungie, reducing its independence going forward and integrating it into PlayStation Studios. That is just... That's happening, I think. In other words, they're not saying that it's happening right now, but I'm almost positive if you were to able somehow look into the future... and probably not very far into it, that's an inevitable thing that's going to happen. And I am almost positive it's going to happen regardless of what Marathon does. I don't see Marathon really coming out and shaking the ground as far as the gaming world's going to be concerned. I think it will be...
I mean, was there anything about that game that made it stand out to you?
It probably could have. The problem was all the problems that... were just stacked on top of it, sort of overshadowed anything that it ever could have been. In other words, people could have focused on the gameplay. People could have focused on whatever the loop was they were trying to do. People could have focused on the story. People could have focused on a whole lot more substantial things about the game, but it was their own, tripping over their own feet that became the thing to focus on with the game. Like, now it doesn't matter the mechanics of the game. It matters that, boy, this is really having a tough time coming out. Mm-hmm. You know? Had they been able to release in September, which I think is what they were aiming for, there could have been something there with it. Now you're releasing in March? Maybe? We'll see. You know, you're going to get... The news surrounding that release will be more about how it's different from what we saw previous. Mm-hmm. And how much of a struggle it was to get this released. And likely how it's performing more than anything else. Like, it won't be a story of... If you release in September, it would be more about like, oh, here's how the game plays. Here's how it works. Here's how they're pulling you in. Here's what they're doing. Blah, blah, blah. That won't be the case. When it releases in March or whenever they do release it, it'll be like, here's the troubling path that Bungie had to take to get this game released. Here's all the screw-ups. Here's all the differences from beta to full release. Here's all the here's all the things that were changed because of the art stuff that was stolen. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Here's all the plagiarism that had to be removed, and here's what they replaced it with. Here's what looks different. Blah blah blah. If that's any even the case, I have no idea. Mm. But it's going to be more about the struggle to get this released than the actual game itself. I feel. Mm. If it makes that date. Even if it doesn't make that date, it's going to be about what happens now. When does Sony take over? You know, when that'll lead into more Destiny talk, I guess, which I don't know how well it's doing on the Destiny end of things, as far as Bungie's concerned. The things that I read have not been good, but I'm also not playing it, so I don't know.
Yeah.
You know? Because I can remember when I did play it and things would be released and it would not be good, but I would have justification in my head of like, oh, well, they're not in it. And yeah, that sounds bad, but I'm enjoying playing this aspect of it and here's what I focus on, that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. I'm not there to do that anymore. So all I get is that, you know, I don't want to say clickbait titles, but in a sense, the headlines.
Yeah.
But not the stories. I'm getting the headlines of... Bungie's got to tweak this again because blah, blah, blah. Or most recently, there was a massive wave of bans because people were people found an exploit or cheat or something mm-hmm. going on with some kind of mode. I don't know because I don't play.
Yeah.
But it was a massive wave ban that went through mm-hmm. for players. So I don't know. I don't know where it sits. But yeah. So that's what we got for Marathon, and it'll be interesting to see when that gets released because I'll be interested to see how Sony handles that. I'll be interested to see how Bungie handles that. I'll just be interested to see how it performs, what changed. In fact, I tell you, the stories saying that this is what the stories are going to be about the game, that's actually what I'm interested in reading.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what the coverage will be. It won't be about, hey, this is a really great game that Bungie put out, and this is how it plays. It'll be about, here's all the struggles. Here's what's changed. Here's what's different. And then it'll be, is it any good? Is it going to save it? That'll be a story as well. Does mm-hmm. this save Bungie from Sony overtaking them? And I don't think there is. I don't think there was ever going to be mm-hmm. a way for that. I think that was always inevitable, that Sony yeah. bought Bungie. Sure, have your independence. And Sony's like, if they do well, we'll just leave them alone.
Yeah.
But if they don't, we'll just take them over. And at this point, I think it's just inevitable
it's just
that they're going to get...
that we're going to do it anyway.
They're going to take it over. Yeah. Yeah, I really think so. What are we looking at here? Let's see. I was a big fan of Rad Racer Cruise in USA. Lethal Migrant says, oh, Super Off-Road. I looked for some... Mm. Oh, God. What was his name? Marvin? No. Something Iron Man blah, blah, blah's off-road...
Oh,
what the hell was his name?
Ivan Iron Man Stewart, right?
Yeah, buddy, that's it. I couldn't remember the name, but yeah, I knew the nickname. Iron Man, blah, 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 is off-road.
Oh, yeah.
Yep. I remember that. Yeah. Let's see. Thar66, or Thar says, I would not be surprised if it's canceled and Ark Raiders stole their thunder. Ark Raiders has been doing well. I haven't really read anything about it. I just know that I've read good things about Ark Raiders. Lethal Migrant, has there been any updates lately on Amy Hennig's game? There hasn't. I think there was a delay. There was an update saying it's been pushed. So, but I haven't heard anything. Which, by the way, she's working for Skydance, and Skydance is doing that Paramount buyout. So, I don't know. But I think the money's there for her to continue on. So, all right, we're at another commercial break here, but we got stories. Marathon was way back when. There was Guitar Hero again, Red Octane. They're being brought back from the dead there for a next for a new rhythm game that will involve a guitar of some sort, a guitar peripheral.
Oh, that was Harmonix, wasn't it?
It was Harmonix.
That was Harmonix. Yeah. I was thinking about the one with the you could mix music with the cards. Whatever. I think you brought it in studio one time.
I did. That was boy. I've got it at the house too.
Yeah.
Man, what is it called?
Oh, we got Google here. What was it?
I'm still part of the like subreddit for it too. It just doesn't get anything because it's pretty much dead. Yeah.
Drop mix. Yeah, drop mix.
That was good. Mm-hmm. I like that. Sorry, it's gone. We got to go too. We're taking a break here. When we come back, we'll jump back into the news. Here is music from, I don't know if it's Super Hang On or just Hang On. Remember the motorbike?
Yeah, bicycle.
Not bicycle.
It hurt when you fell, man.
Yeah,
I'll tell
you. But this is from Hang On. It's just the main theme of the game. We'll be back with more of in-game chat right after this. Oh, this is the first Hang On. Yep. This is not Super Hang On. Again, to in-game chat. Music here from Mario Kart 8. Called Ice Building, I guess. That's what it's called. Yeah, I got to go back and look in my... it's going to take forever to go through my comics and find that book. But I'm almost have to. I remember that the story involves Spider-Man being in London.
Mm-hmm.
So that's, it's pieces of it are starting to come back to me. But I don't, I'm going to have to look some more and see if I can find it. So, but it is at the house, and I know I'll see it when I see it, but if I decide to go through all that stuff, it's many a box.
Yeah.
And then you got to go through every single issue that is in that box to find it. So it wouldn't hurt to kind of reorganize that stuff anyway. I just don't know if that's what I want to do.
What's the box hold, like 100 and plus?
Man, I don't know. It's not the typical boxes. It's not your typical comic boxes.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
Because that's what I was talking about. You mean you got something custom?
No, they weren't. No. You're giving me way too much credit. It just boxes.
Okay.
My mother would bring home these boxes.
Okay.
Because work would have them.
Okay.
And they're just regular boxes. And she'd bring those home, and that's what I would use to put my comic books in. Or my Nintendo Power magazines, which I have a bunch of those to dig through as well. I got EGMs. I got Nintendo Powers. I've got all kinds of different stuff that, for whatever reason, I saved. But Nintendo Powers, I'm kind of glad I saved. And obviously the comic books, I'm totally glad I saved. But some of the EGMs, it's fun to go back into those and look and be like, wow, we were really excited for some absolute junk. But boy, we were really excited to play that junk.
Look, well, back then you couldn't have been spoiled by
was what you had, man. Yeah. You had something that looked janky as all, but it was good.
Yeah.
At that time, anyway.
Yeah. Look, Back to the Future from LJN sold, didn't it? Unfortunately.
What's weird is I'll go back to like YouTube now and find some games that I remember playing, but remember having just the worst time playing them or looking. And then I go back and I look at them now and I was like, why was that difficult? Why was that so hard to play for me?
Mm-hmm.
Like I've watched the underwater Ninja Turtles part where you have to disarm the bombs.
Yeah.
I've watched that many, many times. Mm-hmm. And I was like, that seems pretty not hard to do. Why was that so difficult for me?
I distinctly remember the articles talking about that underwater stage, talking about ever since the turtles have mutated, they've become horrible swimmers. Because they were trying to, hype up the difficulty, or the person reviewing it could play.
I don't know.
It's like that whole, that mess with, I forget the guy's name, Takahashi. Dean Takahashi, when he was playing Cuphead and couldn't get through the tutorial for that game. And that was too hard for him or something. But yeah.
That's the thing. A lot of the games, when you talk about retro games, or when you talk about games from your childhood, you remember the ones that you ran into walls with.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I hardly remember anything that was like, oh, I loved that. I remember the crap. I remember saving up to buy whatever, that Avengers game, Captain America and the Avengers, which was not based on the arcade title. It was
the fun one.
Yeah, it was based on something else, and I bought it because I'm like, hey, superhero game, and it was horrible.
Yeah.
It was really, really bad.
You sure that wasn't LJN?
It could have been, and probably was.
Mm-hmm.
At the time, I wasn't paying attention to publishers.
Yeah.
For me at the time, I wasn't looking at like, well, what else have they made? What studio made this? I didn't pay any attention to that.
Mm-hmm.
I was looking at the property, you know? So there's comic book, Captain America, whatever it was. I'm going to buy that and play that, and it was crap. I'm looking at, oh, there's Knight Rider. I remember that show. That's a great game. Nope. Mm-hmm. You know? What was another, like, Battletoads with the one level that I couldn't get past, the speeder bike level that I couldn't get past. There was that. I remember running into a brick wall on that one. Mega Man was really difficult for me.
Yeah.
Because I did not grasp the concept of what Mega Man was. Like, you defeat a villain, you get his powers. I didn't.
But you had to, if you didn't know which weapon worked against which villain, that concept is going to be, you're going to have a difficult
time.
But I
didn't even know that was a concept.
Yeah, that's what I mean, yeah.
I just played as regular old Mega Man through every single level that I could.
Because
I didn't know that you could...
That's a possibility.
That you could pause it or hit the button and switch him to use the abilities that he gained from beating the bosses.
Yeah.
I didn't realize this until way, way later.
Yeah.
And it suddenly kind of clicked for me, but that was another one that was difficult for me. I never made it to Mike Tyson in Punch-Out. I don't remember how far I got, but I never made it to Mike Tyson outside of using the code to play Mike Tyson.
Let's see. Was it Bald Bull second time through?
I don't know. I don't remember.
Okay. Yeah.
I knew I could get through King Hippo and Don Flamenco.
Mm-hmm.
It was either Bald Bull or Soda Popinski.
Soda Popinski.
Yeah. That might have been tough for me. I don't remember.
Yeah.
But I never made it, like, all the way through to Mike Tyson.
Yeah.
The
only one that I can remember offhand was the X-Men Genesis.
Roger Rabbit was hard for me. That was LJN.
Mm-hmm.
Roger Rabbit was difficult. Never made it to the final boss unless I had Game Genie tapped into the thing, and then I could.
Mm-hmm.
I was a horrible video game player as a kid. I'm not saying that I got better as I got older.
Yeah.
But I do remember finishing DuckTales and, like, Mario. Not original Mario. Oh. I never finished original Mario. I finished, what, Super NES Mario? Which one was that? Mario World?
Mm.
I finished that one. But and I finished Mario 3.
Mm-hmm.
And probably Mario 2. But Mario 1, I never finished.
Mario Brothers?
Yeah. Super Mario Brothers, the original, I never finished it.
Okay.
Because once you got to Bowser's Castle, there was like a maze. You had to take certain different paths to get to Bowser. Yeah. But I never made it that far. Because the level just to get to the castle, or the levels just getting you to the castle, were too difficult for me to get there.
Mm-hmm.
Even using the warping, which I really didn't do too much of at that time.
Mm.
But yeah, I was a horrible player. Rad Racer was difficult. Top Gun was hard to play.
You couldn't land in Top Gun, could you?
The aircraft carrier landing in Mission... It was either the end of Mission 1 or the beginning of Mission 2.
I think it was Mission 2.
No. I had to land in Mission 1, and if I could land on the carrier, good job. Mission 2 required in-air fueling, mid-air fueling.
Oh, okay, yeah.
And that I could... It was like, boy, even if I land this thing on the aircraft carrier, I'm going to run out of fuel in the next one because I cannot get the mid-air fueling thing done.
Can't get the nozzle in the spout or whatever. Yeah.
The Goonies 2 by Konami, tough. Very difficult.
You ever try Ninja Gaiden on NES? Because that one was pretty difficult as well.
Probably, but it was also difficult. Yeah, that and Double Dragon. I don't know how far I got in Double Dragon, but that was the song, I think, that opened the show, by the way.
Yeah. I did the one on Genesis. I didn't have too much trouble with that. I just found the exploit with the elbow attack got you out of everything.
Yeah,
in the Genesis version anyway.
I was not good at those, and the weird thing is that I'm so big on like putting the retro games on my Steam Deck and going back and playing these things. Like, I should try, actually. If I'm talking about them now, I should really go back and try that Ninja Turtles and get through the of course, if I get through the underwater segment, is it any better afterwards? You know,
do you have to do it again?
I don't think so. I think that one underwater segment where you keep him from blowing up the dam.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's the only segment. After that, it's platforming again mostly.
Yeah,
it's mostly just what you would find, just kind of going through the platforms. That was Konami as well, wasn't it?
I think it was Konami. Yeah,
yeah, that was Konami also. Played a lot like Goonies too, in a sense.
We're just reusing assets.
Mostly.
Same asset, different skin.
Yeah. Just because of the limitations that they had, both with money and people and everything else that they had to go through.
Well, which one did Friday the 13th?
That's LJN.
Okay.
The old Purple Jason. big old purple Jason.
Purple Jason. Barney in a hockey mask.
Old,
that's all,
old
that's all
purple
that was,
man coming around the corner. Hey, old Jason.
That was the only color he showed up as, wasn't it?
In that game, yes.
Yeah, purple.
And in fact, in the Friday the 13th multiplayer game that they came out with a couple of years back, they had a purple Jason in there in honor of the LJN
honor.
Purple Jason. Hey, you know what I mean. Homage. An homage.
Yeah, for those of you who remember. Yeah.
To the old purple
Big
Jason.
Big purple Jason, yeah.
This big old purple dude.
Kind of takes the horror element out of it.
I guess it did because
the stark vision of him knowing what Jason is and what he does.
I mean, as purple could be, man.
Yeah, big purple.
The whole
man.
Thing, purple.
Yeah.
Not a bit of any other color but purple. And if there was, it's like, well, why couldn't? I don't know. I should go back and I should look up to like why look that question up. Why was Jason purple?
Yeah, it took the fear out of it because of how he looked, really.
I mean, there was nothing. They were trying their best for horror games back then, but yeah.
Whatever it was, it didn't work.
Yeah, Lethal Migrant says Super Mario Brothers. I beat that a ton. So if you think I didn't finish Super Mario Brothers, no way I finished Legend of Zelda.
Mm.
I played Legend of Zelda, but it didn't click to me like it did to a lot of people back then.
Well, yeah, you gave it a shot.
I tried. I was just like, this is boring to me.
Yeah. So, yeah.
It absolutely bored
me. Yeah. There's I'm in the same boat. There's a lot of popular games I gave a legitimate shot to, but it just wasn't for me.
The weird thing was that Zelda didn't catch on to me until Wind Waker. When Wind Waker hit and I played it, I was like, this is fun. And then subsequent releases, I was going to give it a shot and try them. And I liked them.
Yeah, it was a little format change.
So yeah, I didn't get far in them as far as I did with Wind Waker, but I liked them.
Yeah.
and enjoyed them. So, yeah, you know, it's one of those things, kind of what rose-tinted glasses, I suppose.
Mm-hmm.
But really not, because I'm looking back saying, boy, that was really hard. That was really hard. I didn't beat a lot of games. Why did I play so many games that I couldn't, that I could barely get through? Like, I could barely, these were all early levels.
Mm-hmm.
Speeder Bike Level in Battletoads was what, 3, 4?
Middle of the game, at least, yeah.
Middle? I didn't play that much to get there.
Okay, so early, then, I guess.
I think the first level was the platform outside level.
Mm-hmm.
Second level, I think, was when you rappel down the whatever that was.
So I think I've seen the Battletoads one, but my most of my experience with Battletoads is the EA arcade type one. That's the one.
I'm going on NES.
Yeah.
And then I think third was Speeder Bike.
Mm-hmm.
We already talked about Top Gun. That was end of level one and then the midway point of level two.
Mm-hmm.
Mario Brothers, it took me... I didn't get to World 8 because I probably didn't make it to World 7.
I thought you had to get to World 4 to warp to 8.
Maybe. I probably didn't, or even if I did, getting to World 8 meant nothing because I couldn't get far enough to get through it.
Yeah.
I mean, if we take away the warp aspects, I didn't get very far in Mario Brothers.
Mm-hmm.
Rad Racer? Maybe I finished in the whatever on that first race, but probably not.
Mm-hmm.
It was difficult. So it's just a lot of difficult games. Or I was just a horrible player, but I kept playing them. I don't know how far on Punch-Out, but yeah. So let's see. Let's look at the news. What do we have? We have a lot of news, I suppose. We'll talk Dragon Age for a minute. Why not?
Mm.
Reason I want to talk about it is because a remaster was pitched and EA said no. A trilogy remaster of the first three Dragon Age games was pitched by BioWare to EA, but the publisher is, quoting them, against remasters. That's according to Dragon Age series veteran Mark Dara, who was interviewed by a YouTuber. Dara was executive producer on the first three games, but has since left BioWare. They did the Mass Effect trilogy got a remaster, released in 2021, so why didn't Dragon Age receive the same treatment? He discussed why the sci-fi series was favored by EA. The problem Dragon Age has had would be to say that EA wants mainstream success, and it's hard, or at least it has historically been hard, for corporate people who come from the sports side of the organization, to look at a game like Dragon Age Origins, which is super nerdy, not very attractive looking, and say, this is a mainstream game. They don't see it with Dragon Age. They look at Mass Effect, they can see it. There's just been a lot of difficulty with them. There's always been a push for Dragon Age to be more mainstream, more accessible. So it's always had this either pressure to be something different or more in the case of something like Inquisition, a reaction to that. Dragon Age Inquisition, by the way. A remaster of the first three Dragon Age games was soft-pitched by BioWare and was to be released as the Champions Trilogy. However, Dara said EA is against remasters, though he doesn't know why. It's strange for a publicly traded company, he said. They basically seem to be against free money. The other issue is that a Dragon Age remaster would be harder to achieve than Mass Effect, in part because the three games are made in different engines. As such, a Dragon Age remaster would either need to be done by a different team, or it would need to be done in-house. That then brings issues of resources, which were already split at BioWare between Mass Effect and Dragon Age teams. There was a Mass Effect team and a Dragon Age team working on Veilguard. No further resources were available for an additional remastered trilogy. He believes BioWare will work. Boy, that's... Elmer Fudd would have a horrible time reading that. better as a studio with one project at a time to avoid open warfare over resources. And apparently that is the case. I'd take a Dragon Age remaster. I might not play it, but I would take a Dragon Age remaster of the trilogy. Dragon Age Origins, Dragon Age Inquisition, and whatever Dragon Age 2, or maybe that was 1, I'm not sure.
Hmm.
But those first three games I would actually go back to. I played a good bit of Dragon Age 2.
Hmm.
I did not play a lot of Inquisition, although I heard good things about it.
Hmm.
And I haven't touched Veilguard.
Did Veilguard hurt so much that the corporate sponsors said,
Veilguard hurt a lot for them, even though... Well, you remember, Veilguard showed up on PlayStation Plus pretty quickly, right?
Yeah, it showed up free, and still people, and it still didn't move. That's what I mean. Did Veilguard hurt the series so much that the folks up top said we don't want to touch that no more?
Maybe. The thing about it is though, you can look back at those first three games and see, like, these did good.
Yeah.
You know, Veilguard's not doing it, but I bet if we remastered these, we could probably recoup, you know, some losses from Veilguard.
Yeah.
Because people would probably be down for going back to these games in a remastered sense.
Or is it possible the people who would buy that already have those games and...
Possibility.
Why pick it up?
Maybe, but I mean, you look at Mass Effect, and that did very well.
Mm-hmm.
The remaster trilogy,
yeah,
and stuff, that
mm-hmm.
did very well for them, which makes me think that they could. Now, they had released Andromeda? Was that fourth Mass Effect game that kind of did a? It didn't do a reboot, but it was completely
the messed up one,
yeah,
the jacked up one.
Yeah.
I think it was that one. Yeah,
but they still released that trilogy.
Mm-hmm.
They still released that remastered trilogy, and that was successful for them.
Okay, it was blowback for. For that one as big as the one for Veilguard?
Probably not, because they were waiting longer for Veilguard than they were for Andromeda.
Yeah.
And so there was probably a lot of expectations that were put upon Veilguard to do something.
Mm-hmm.
Andromeda, there were some expectations of it, but it was kind of showing its flaws already. People were talking about how buggy it was at the beginning. Veilguard, as far as I know, didn't have a lot of bugs with it. It just did not perform well.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't a sense where, you know, it's janky or it's got issues with play. It wasn't that. It's just that people didn't buy into it.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I think there's something there. I think they could do it. But, yeah, I would say their guys know better. Because they can look at statistics and tell us about that, but I really think that a Dragon Age remaster, if it didn't really cost them a lot to do, I think they could do it and probably make some money off of it. I think it would be successful for them. I don't know how they measure success, though.
That's true. Because one company's idea of success is completely different from another one.
Yeah.
Square comes to mind.
Speaking of releases... id Software, they released a definitive remaster of Heretic and Hexen. And they both come in one bundle and include two brand new episodes. It was announced during QuakeCon, which happened just recently. And it was shadow launched that same day as it was announced. $15 for both games. The Xbox and PC versions also have will be available for games, so it's on Game Pass if you want to play it. The new releases have been handled by retro specialist Night Dive Studios, which had already released modern versions of Doom, Doom 2, Doom 64, Quake, Star Wars Dark Forces, and the first three Turok games as well. Originally released in 94 and 95, Heretic and its sequel Hexen used a modified version of the Doom engine to offer similar FPS action, but with a dark fantasy theme instead of a sci-fi military one. Heretic was one of the first FPS games to allow inventory management and the ability to look up and down, while Hexen introduced hub levels and the ability to choose between three characters with their own unique weapons. These new re-releases feature up to 4K resolution, 120 frames per second on hardware that supports it, as well as numerous texture enhancements. They also include a remixed soundtrack, who previously worked on Doom Eternal and Doom 2 remasters. Other features include in-game support for community-published mods, local split screen for 4 to 8 players, and online multiplayer support for up to 16 players. Perhaps most notable, however, is two entirely new chapters, Heretic Faith Renewed and Hexen Vestiges of Grandeur, I guess, which have been created by members of Night Dive and id Software. So, yeah, you got some stuff there. If you're looking into some retro stuff. I never played Heretic and Hexen. Or Descent. These were all like id Software type titles that had come out after Doom and Wolf. I never caught on to those. I knew their significance. I knew they were pretty good games, pretty big, you know, type of big releases because they were follow-ups to these things. But again, at that time, I wasn't paying attention to studios. I wasn't looking at who made what. I was looking at what is this game? Does it look like something I'd enjoy? And I will tell you now, fantasy-themed games were not something I was into
at
that time. It really wasn't. And I'm not even talking about just Final Fantasy type stuff, even though that was also something. But like the fantasy setting of swords and knights and things, it did not appeal to me. Shooting aliens or Germans or Nazis, I should say, not Germans. I don't want to say Germans, but Nazis.
Careful.
Shooting aliens, shooting Nazis. I was all down for that. Shooting mostly anything I was good for. Hand-to-hand combat I was not really big in. Those pulled me in.
Mm-hmm.
But it never caught on for me. Yeah. Back then. It's different now.
Yeah.
Now I pay attention to who publishes what. I pay attention to, I look at something and it doesn't matter what the setting is. Does that look like something fun to play? Mm. Not... Yeah, you know what? It's set medieval stuff. I'm just going to write it off. No. Let me look at it. See what it is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what type of gameplay is it? Is it Souls-like? Then it's probably not for me. Is it, I don't know, whatever, something else? Is it RPG-ish with, like, is it Dragon Age-like? Maybe. Mm-hmm. That's for me. Avowed was one I played recently.
Yeah.
That has a fantasy type setting, and I'm absolutely totally cool with it.
Yeah.
So, tastes change over time.
Yep.
Or you refine it, I suppose. You just sort of.
I just want to try something new.
Yeah. Look for something and you want to try it, and you're like, let me give it a better. I remember not liking this food when I was a kid. Let me try it now. Oh, it's really good.
Yeah.
Same situation.
Yeah, well, if you cook it right, yeah.
Well, you know what I mean? It's just one of those things where it's like, that does not sound. As a kid, that doesn't sound good. That's some kind of vegetable or some kind of whatever. That doesn't seem good at all. Where's the sugar? That's what I want. Where's the sugar of the thing?
Yeah.
And then you try it later and you're like, why did I ever not like this stuff? It's really, really good.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing. Why was I averse to whatever this was? This is really good.
Yeah.
So I'm going back to the chat room here. Zelda's one of the few that I finished. Mario's difficulty turned me off on platformers. Lethal Migraine says, level 3.1, I think it was. There were two shelled ducks on the flag steps. Jump over the first one, jump over the second one, and if you do it right, you keep bouncing on it, getting extra guys. However, if you get too many extra guys, the next time you died, the game was over. I always found Contra tough.
Yeah, that's true. Contra. What? Yeah.
I would never go into Contra without doing the 30-man code at the beginning, the Konami code.
Yeah.
And even better, Contra was great when you played it with somebody else.
Yeah.
Sure. With doing the 30-man code while you're doing it.
No. Yeah.
Yeah, no. We're not sticking to three lives on this game. No.
Oh, come on.
There's a reason you put 30-man code in there, and that's what we're going after. Feels like sports games have been nothing but remasters for the last 15 years, basically.
No, it's just roster updates.
Yeah.
I mean, I think I've said it before. What else can you add to this game that's been played the same way for a century, other than changing the roster?
AC Ray says Andromeda was my favorite. I played it first to avoid disappointment and ended up liking it the most. Brian in there says, I love Descent with a Space Orb 360 controller. I was a beast. There's a Descent clone that came out recently called Overload that's really cool. Good to know. Good to know. Let's take a break here, and when we come back, we'll jump into more news that we've got lined up for you. This is music from Top Gear. It's just titled as Track 4. We'll be back with more of In-Game Chat right after this. Welcome back to In-Game Chat. Pop that up a little bit. That's music from F-Zero, oddly titled Silence. I know.
Silence?
Okay. I mean, that's what the YouTube video said. I don't know. None of this is, like, you know, authentic. Mm. I'm saying whatever the video was titled, and that's what that was titled. So.
Okay.
Right, I know. Dave is still trying to find my Spider-Man comic. Because he was trying to talk, he sent me a couple of issues. He's like, is this it? And I was like, no, it doesn't. He's like, do you remember anything about the cover? And like, I don't think Spider-Man was, see, I'm confused now if the image that sticks out is the cover image or the final page. I swear I thought it was the cover image.
Mm-hmm.
But I could be wrong. If I'm wrong, then I have no idea what the cover image looked like.
Yeah.
But I swear I remember the cover image looked like it was a broken building. In other words, like somebody got thrown into the building, and so you were, the shot was from inside the room of this building, looking out where all the destruction had been from the inside and stuff, and like you know, wood was splintered and things like that. And I think there was a mask hanging on one of the pieces, and I don't know if it was his mask. Like there was no character on the cover. If that was the cover, the page that I remember, there was no character on the screen, on the page, cover or final page. It was just like, that's what happened, and I think Cloak and Dagger were going to be coming, or maybe it was in this issue, Cloak and Dagger, but they weren't on, I don't know. I don't know. And then the other thing was, I knew it took place in London, which is not normally a place that Spider-Man goes to. So there's Spider-Man in London.
Now there's Cloak and Dagger. I think, weren't they based in New York?
They likely were. Because my other thing that I told Dave just then was, he said, and this definitely preceded a Cloak and Dagger team up. And I said, I think so. And then it hit me and I thought, what if it was Lock and Key? Is Lock and Key a Marvel group or is that a DC group? Mm-hmm. I know it was a team up with a two person thing.
LOCKE?
Yeah, Lock and Key. Yeah. I don't know if that's DC or Marvel.
I keep seeing IDW Publishing.
Okay, maybe it wasn't. So it was likely Cloak and Dagger, though. I think. I don't know, man. One day, and I feel like that day may be tomorrow.
You're about to tear every box open, ain't you?
I don't want to, man. I don't want to. I've been down this road before going through these things, and I really don't want to do it. But at the same time, I really want to find this issue.
Mm.
I don't want to do it because I'm afraid it actually isn't there. I think I still have it.
Mm-hmm.
But at this point, if I don't remember the cover, how am I going to know if it's not the cover page that I'm describing? The memory that sticks.
Yeah.
If it's not that cover page, how am I going to know looking at this? I think I will know, but just, I think it'll, because I think physically seeing it, it will trigger that memory. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's
the whole thing where I know it when I see it.
Yeah. Kinda.
Yeah.
Kinda. Man, I wish I could remember it, guys. I really do. And thank you, Dave, for doing your searching. Your sleuthing to get into there and find that. Because it's just going to bug me. What do we have here? Yeah, Tron Catalyst released, and I love the demo of that game and have it on my wish list. I think it's probably going to be really fun to play, or at least the demo was, but the developer, Bithel Games, laid off the majority of full-time staff less than 2 months after releasing Tron Catalyst.
Mm.
They're the same guys that did John Wick Hex, which I think was a pretty good game there, too.
Mm.
But it... Oh, okay. Okay, there's a small studio. Because I just read that they laid off 11 employees.
Okay.
But that is the majority of their full-time staff.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's a small studio, but when you're small, losing that many people is a big deal.
Mm.
Bithel Games was founded in 2013, following Mike Bithel's success with the 2012 puzzle platformer, Thomas Was Alone. Great game. Mm. Thomas Was Alone is a really good game. The writing in that game... The narration is fantastic. It's wonderful. Very, very...
That's a pixely one, isn't it?
They're just shapes.
Yeah.
Thomas Was Alone is basically either a square or a line type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of like Tetris blocks,
mm-hmm.
square or a line.
Yeah.
Line piece. reverse squiggly. And then you would meet other... the narration was what made it very Stanley Parable-esque.
Okay.
Tongue-in-cheek type of thing.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So, yeah, very sad news there for something that just released.
Oh, heck, we were talking about it earlier, how much success doesn't necessarily guarantee that your company is going to be saved.
No.
Because what happened with Hi-Fi Rush?
Yeah, I know.
Tango didn't...
And that game came out pretty well.
Yeah.
That didn't even matter that it was successful.
Yeah.
We're shutting you down anyway.
Mm-hmm.
I hate that.
Yeah.
I really, really hate that. Yeah. All right, why not? Let's talk about GTA 6. Grand Theft Auto 6 publisher dodged on providing hard numbers when asked about the pricing of that game, but said that Take-Two Interactive's goal with the game costs is, quote, to deliver more value than what we charge. That was a new interview that they did with Variety. You made a noise? You made a noise, sir?
They're going to do everything they can to get that thing to 100, 80 to 100.
They don't have to justify it. It's GTA 6. That's the justification alone. People will buy it. You're not going to lose.
I know. Yeah, I get it.
You won't lose. Now, I believe there is a price point where you lose. $100 ain't it. $150 likely is. But $100, people will jump in on that. It's $20 more than what it would normally cost, right? $80 game. $70 game. Fine.
I'm just old. $80. I'm waiting for the discount.
Really? For GTA, you would be waiting for the discount?
You know how big the backlog is.
I understand. I just didn't know if you would be there. Well, you're not typically the guy that's there day one.
Hmm.
Yeah, you're not.
Not many titles would make me jump day one, but...
Well, I would tell you that the numbers would reflect the fact that even $80 or $100, the numbers would reflect that everybody else would be right there with it.
I mean...
Yeah. They'd survive, they'd make it.
We know the game's going to sell. Yeah, we get that, but...
Pricing for GTA 6 will come from Rockstar in due time, said the CEO of Take-Two. Take-Two's boasted that in better-than-expected response, Grand Theft Auto 5 has reached a new sales milestone, topping more than 215 million units. Overall, the Grand Theft Auto franchise has sold nearly 455 million units to date. Zelnick, the CEO of Take-Two, didn't comment on any kind of pricing, because GTA 6 is still like 9 months away, but instead acknowledged game industry pricing tactics of launching with a premium price, sometimes with special editions and dropping prices over time. That may very well be the plan for GTA 6. But we don't know what the final cost for that game will be. What Rockstar has revealed are two trailers for GTA 6. The first one got 93 million views in 24 hours. The second one blew that out of the water with 475 million views in 24 hours.
Hmm.
And May 26th is the launch date for that. Good luck, anybody that releases around that time.
Mm-hmm.
We've talked about it. That's the date that's going to stay. You will not see games released. Nazi. You will. That's what I heard. You will, actually. You'll see counter releases towards that.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody will say, you know what, I'm going to release my cozy game, you know, or that some independent developer is like, I'm just going to release this here because why not? This will pick up where people who don't want to play GTA 6 or don't have the money to play GTA mm-hmm. 6 or whatever the case may be. This is here. It's $5, $10. It's something like that. You know,
if you want your game to go under the radar,
they will.
Yeah.
But there's always counter programming, man.
Yeah.
I remember working in the movie theater, and it was always like, man, nobody's going to release a movie against this, but they do.
Mm-hmm.
Because people aren't interested in whatever that big, hyped-up, ready-to-release film is.
Mm-hmm.
don't know that they do that a lot now because you really need all the eyes you can get on your film getting in theaters. But back then, it was like, let's appeal to the people who aren't going to go see whatever the thing was, the latest comic book film.
You got options.
Yeah. They would give people options. Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if I want to jump into that Crafton stuff again. The whole thing with, what's it called? Subnautica 2?
No.
Because there's been updates on that. Mm-hmm. And I'm curious as to what those updates are. Crafton has filed new legal papers answering the lawsuit initiated by the former leadership of Subnautica 2 developer Unknown Worlds, alleging the absence of the founders has begun to impact the development team. Details of the legal complaint against Crafton Inc. by the former leadership of Subnautica 2 became public last month. The complaint concerns a $250 million bonus payout that was tied to revenue targets for the 2025 early access release of Subnautica 2, which the former shareholders of Unknown World Entertainment allege that the Crafton Inc. folks sought to avoid paying out by delaying the game using pressure tactics. In a new statement, Crafton said, quoting them, "At the heart of every decision Crafton makes are the fans who deserve the best possible experience. This legal action is not just about protecting business interests. It's a continuation of Crafton's commitment to delivering an authentic experience to its players." And that's the end of the quote. In the legal response, Crafton insists the development lead of Subnautica 2 noted the first early access period and second early access would only be about 12% of their intended 1.0 scope, and joked that at that rate, we would be in development for 30 years. The publisher said it had requested a delay in releasing the highly anticipated sequel in early access to safeguard the quality of the game and maintain player trust. In the filing itself, Crafton once again claims it asked the co-founders to return and lead development, an offer that they declined, and alleges that at every turn during development, the key employees were laser-focused on avoiding a timeline that doesn't tank the earnout opportunity. The key employees were willing to gamble with the release of any game, even one that would damage the company's goodwill, in time for them to maximize their earnout at the expense of the company. "We believe the facts speak for themselves," Crafton stated. "This answer reflects our commitment to protecting both the Subnautica IP and the global community that has supported it for years." So, we're still doing that. For now.
Mm.
And that's the latest update on that. Still seems like a company that was trying to avoid paying $250 million that they had promised. Or at least they could have, I don't know, and maybe they did say this, and I'm not sure, I'd have to go back and go through the timeline all over again.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they did say that, look, we're still going to do the $250 million, but we can't release it in this state yet. Even at early access, we can't do it right now. But we will move this so that you can, you know, to give you that opportunity again when you do release it. Now, I don't know if they just kept, you know, Lucy moving the football out of the way every time they ran up to do it.
Yeah.
I have no idea if that just kept happening that way. Mm. Maybe that was in one of the previous ones. I'm not sure. But, yeah, I don't know.
Mm.
I don't know. I never played Subnautica. I think I have it, but I never played it. So I don't know. You know, speaking of looking for old comic books, the Video Game History Foundation made a digital version of one of the first American games magazines available for free. After celebrating the launch of its digital library earlier this year, the preservation-focused Video Game History Foundation has expanded its publicly available collection with the full run of Computer Entertainer, described as one of the first American video game magazines. Computer Entertainer might not be an immediately recognizable name this side of the pond. This is Eurogamer I'm reading from. Especially 35 years after its final issue was published, but the Video Game History Foundation's announcement details the magazine's history, highlighting exactly why it's something of a unique and valuable record of home console video gaming in the mid-1980s. Quote, "Most console game magazines in the U.S. went out of business during the 83-84 industry crash, except this one. As a result, Computer Entertainer is one of the only sources for American reviews of classic games like The Legend of Zelda, Final Fantasy, and Super Mario Brothers. And because it was run by a game retailer, this magazine is one of the only reliable sources of American game release dates during this period. Computer Entertainer started life as the Video Game Update, a newsletter for U.S. mail order retailer Video Takeout, and would run from 1982 to 1990. It was co-edited by two sisters, Mary Lou Badeau, which I'm probably screwing that name up, and Celeste Dolan, which the Video Game History Foundation notes means it's also the earliest console video game magazine run by women. The foundation, which describes itself as a nonprofit organization dedicated to preserve, acquired a complete run of Computer Entertainer from Mary Lou last year and began digitizing the bound copies using a book scanner. They admitted that it was pretty poor quality scans. However, following the death of Celeste, Mary Lou also donated her sister's copies, after which the organization made the decision to disassemble one set in order to scan it at the highest possible quality. Amid all this, the foundation sourced a number of missing copies from game historian Leonard Herman in order to complete its collection. And it acquired the intellectual property rights to Computer Entertainer so the magazine could be made available to everyone for free. As such, the complete run of that magazine is now available to read, search, and download via the Video Game History Foundation's Digital Archive, which launched earlier this year, providing access to magazines, art books, and more spanning the history of gaming. Computer Entertainer has been released under a Creative Commons attribution license, meaning it can be used for any purpose, provided appropriate credit is given. So, yeah, that's fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to go through and look at that, actually. Good on them for doing that. All right. That's going to wrap it up for us because we only got about less than three minutes to go here. So thank you, everybody, for joining us. Thanks, everybody, who joined us on Twitch as well. We really appreciate you guys being out there. I was reading through the... Nabokov fan! Hey, what's up, dude? Thanks for joining us in here. I didn't see the name in there, but thanks for popping in on the chat. And thanks again for making our Discord, dude. Thank you. I really appreciate that. So don't forget to go to our website, ingamechat.net, and, you know, join our Discord and go to Steam and do all that fun stuff that you can do with us. We really like to interact with you guys, so please interact with us. I'm going to leave you here with another track from a racing level. I wouldn't say it's a racing game, because it's not, but the name of this track is called Turbo Tunnel.
Hmm.
You know what it is?
Is it that... the Battletoads.
Battletoads.
The bane of your existence.
The bane of my Battletoads existence. Yep. That's the end of the game for me. That was it. That was the final level because I couldn't get past it. That was all.
Okay, we need to get you that. I know you got to download on that Steam Deck
somewhere. Oh, I absolutely do, but that level is still hard.
Play it.
It's still hard.
You said you played nothing this week. Play that.
All right.
You got this week. Come on. Give it a shot.
Well, here's Battletoads for you. You guys have a great one. We will see you next week. Thanks for joining us. God, I hate this music. Listen to that, just taunting me. Yep, you can't beat me. You suck. Go play something else. See you guys.